God is awfully good to us, isn't he? He is a mighty good God. How many brought your Bible with you today? I hope you did. Now, let me tell you where we're headed today. I'm just settled in last week talking about that place of authority that God has for us. I'm going to continue that here this morning as we share together. But I'm in not any kind of a hurry. I'm not in kind of a situation to where I've got to cover this material or that material. I've got a lot of things in my heart and mind I want to say to you. We'll just ask how the Holy Spirit wants to bring it out. We'll sort of obey him for sure. And whatever he wants to do, that's what we're going to do. But what I want you to do today is receive something today. You know what? You are absolutely, you know, in the wrong place if you're just saying, hey, service is going to be over some, you know, another hour and 2 hours and a half, that kind of thing, because that's not what we're here about. We're here about today to get something into our hearts and our lives and have change take place. How many really wants to have a change in your heart and life? Amen. How many wants to say when you approach the Word of God, you want the Word of God to become yours on the inside? You want to take possession of the Word, be filled with the Word of God, because it will change your life. It will change your destiny. It will set your course on a course of victory, and I like living in the victory. How about you? I faced a few battles, and, you know, maybe I've lost one or two here or there, but I've won a few as well. I like the winning a whole lot better than the losing. How about you? So let's get our hearts and our minds in a place today where we can receive something from God. I want to experience change in my mind, change in my heart. Bring me to a place that I can receive. What we're going to talk about, what we're going to discuss, this place of authority that the Lord's given me on my heart recently, is a place that where all of us can come. And as George talked about, whether it's a situation of healing, whether it's a situation of finance or a situation of family or your girlfriend, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening, whatever's taking place in your life, you can have complete victory in that situation. You can. You can have the authority of God rule and reign in your life, and you can be laughing and smiling and joyful in life and seeing God just give you blessing after blessing and abundance after abundance and victory after victory. I like that part of this walk that God has given us. There are situations in this life, and we're like everyone else, like Elijah and Elisha. When you face the times that it doesn't rain, but Elijah was a man of like passion like us, he prayed and it rained. And I believe that if you and I have a situation going on in our life, whether it's drought, whatever the situation might be, you can pray and I can pray and we can see the rains come. Amen? We can't. Well, it happens through being saturated by the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to become who you are. Not just looking on it. Not just looking on a place and put it on a refrigerator. That's fine. Do that. Wonderful. Not just hanging on a mirror. Do that. Wonderful. Good. But it's more than just a verse hanging on a mirror. It's when it becomes alive and real on the inside. And so let your heart be pliable today. Let the Holy Spirit touch your heart and bring change into your life and plant an engrafted word, as James talked about, a seed that'll bring forth a harvest in your life. I'm believing for that today. How about you? Shout amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout glory to God. Say, Father God, I'm a receiver today. In the name of Jesus, let's make a confession about say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Hallelujah. Somebody say, take that devil. Woo. Somebody say, the devil is defeated. Jesus has been made Lord. And you and me are ruling and reigning with Jesus. Look with me real quickly as we look in the book of Psalms chapter 91. Psalms 91. I'm just going to give you just a little bit of a catch up of where we were last week and going to bring us to a place where we need to be. And so look at Psalms chapter 91 is where we're about to be here. Let me get there myself so I'll know where I'm at. We've been talking about authority. And when we think about authority that God has given us or that we share with Christ, as we'll see, we recognize that authority means having dominion, being in charge. One of the key things that you find in counseling and sharing with people in the subject of depression is depression comes when people feel like I don't have any control. This stuff is happening to me and I can't do anything about it. And then I would get depressed. And so authority and understanding a revelation of authority is an absolute cure for depression. When you recognize that you do have power to choose, you do have the right to operate in the things of God in this arena of authority, there's no place for depression. The root cause of depression is gone. Because there's no such thing as being out of control and just everything has happened to me out here and I can't do anything about it. That's not the way of life for the believer. And so as we think about this place of authority, there is a place to be. And Psalms 91:1 says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, can you imagine abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? What kind of problem could you have? I mean, under the shadow of the Almighty, what circumstance of life could come against you? What thing could the devil devise and plan that he would attack you with that would have any force against you when you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? He talks in Psalms 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I'll trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shall you trust, and his truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor by the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor by the destruction that wastes in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eye you shall see and behold and see the reward of the wicked. Some people look at that and they think all these things happen, the reward of the righteous. Notice it said the reward of the wicked. And so you can see the circumstances happening in this life, but you and I dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, it does not come close to us, not even close. Somebody asked you, have you thought about giving up your walk and following the Lord Jesus? Not even close. Not in a million years. Not in 10 million years have I thought about giving up on God. God has never, ever, ever let me down. How about you? Somebody say amen. Never has he? He does not let us down. He always does what he says that he would do. Now, turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Let me show you something here. Now, I've learned this many, many years ago as I've shared with you, and I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. Get you a book, a good quality book that helps you study the scriptures. Get into the scriptures yourself as it is. Get some good teaching, good ministry, good, if you want to call sermons or messages, whatever, on the authority of God and how God exercises authority through the believer, and just get saturated in it. Come to a place. If you've ever been to a place in your life when you faced a struggle, and you were forced by that struggle into a place of seeking God, I understand that. And if that's where you've been, the struggle that's come upon you forced you into a place of seeking God, good. Go seek God. Yeah. But you know what? Don't wait till the struggle comes against you, until you begin seeking God. Why not before the struggle comes? Why not before the situation falls on you? Why not way before then that you're praying and you're seeking God and you're building who you are in Christ Jesus and who God is in you and understanding these things of authority? Then when those struggles come, it won't wash you away. It won't take you out. It won't deliver you from all the things of this world and that are against you. You'll be set free from all of them. So get into the Word of God to a place to where it's not just something you read and something you quote and do all of that. But it is something that you are. The Word of God is not just something you read. It is something you are. It becomes alive on the inside. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, there is a prayer. Actually, there's two prayers prayed in the book of Ephesians. One in chapter 1 and one in chapter 3. But in chapter 1, Paul prays this prayer. And so let me give you sort of the difference here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he's praying for these believers, these Ephesian believers. Do you know that you and I, there are two different kinds of prayers that we pray. There's several different kinds of prayers mentioned in Scripture. But there are different prayers that you can pray for a believer and one that you can pray for a non-believer. How many are believers? Say amen. Don't get mad, but as a believer, you're supposed to know most of your praying on your own. How many are believers? Say amen. Don't get mad, but as a believer, you're supposed to be doing most of your praying all on your own. You are. I am, as a believer. As a believer. Right, would you tell a person that's got it, that you're going to pray for them to get it? No. Why? Because they what? They already got it. So why do you pray for somebody that's got it to get it? They got it.
You wouldn't pray for them to get it. They got it.
Here's what you pray for those who are believers, such as you and I. And Paul gives us that prayer right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. This is how you pray for believers. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, believers need their eyes open to who they are. That's what they need. Enlightened, that you may know. Believers need their eyes open that they might know something. That you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Believers need to know what their inheritance is. Another way of saying it is believers need to know what they got. Believers need to know what they have. Believers need to know what they possess. It's like if you can just get you and I sort of shake us and rattle us just a little bit, and it's where things sort of break loose in our mind, and the light comes on, and we are like, oh yeah, I'm a child of God. I don't have to take this anymore. That's what believers need to know. They need to learn. They need to wake up to who they are in Christ Jesus. Now, the sinner doesn't know that. Sinner needs to be saved. The world needs to be saved. We need to bind the devil that's blinded the eyes of them that don't believe, lest they believe, and receive the light of the gospel. That's what the Bible tells us. And so there's a prayer for the unbeliever, but the prayer for the believer is right here, that our eyes are open. I mean, we just shouldn't be at this place to where I'm wanting you to do my praying for me. To where I encounter a circumstance or situation of life. And I understand, you know, all through the church history that you and I have lived through, and I've lived through myself, that constantly believers are talking about prayer and praying one for another. That's okay. Do some praying one for another. Agree with one another. That's okay. All these things are okay. It's wonderful to know those things. It's great to exercise that kind of a, you know, a prayer life with one another. But the primary result with me getting my prayers answered, when you pray for me, is me believing. And if I'm not believing and you pray for me, you can pray me all you want to. Until my mind gets changed and I start believing that that's God's will for my life, I'm just not going to be receiving of that. And you won't either. And so what has to happen is you got to do some believing on your own. I have to do believing on my own. My eyes have to be enlightened. Once I get my eyes enlightened, once I know what the hope of his calling is in me, once I know what my inheritance is, then you know what will happen? I'll begin to make demands on the things of God. You know, you hear that, we get a little quiet, but no, we make demands on the things of God. I mean, if you had a relative that died, I mean, everybody shows up for the reading of the will if they think they're in it. And when they get there and they find that they're in the reading of the will, and the will says you get thus and such, I guarantee you, you demand what the will said you're supposed to get. Somebody say amen. Well, how much more so with God? Why do we think when it comes to God, oh, Lord, I wouldn't demand anything with God. My goodness. No. That's all right for you to come to that place in life where we demand that the things of God. I'm not telling God what to do. He's already told me what he's going to do. I'm just letting this world know and letting the devil know and myself know. I demand the things of God in my life. Whatever God has said that he will do for me, I'm just requiring that in my life. I'm demanding that in my life. It's mine. It's my inheritance. I have it now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, that's where you got to be. That's what he wants us to be, enlightened. You know what your inheritance is. And so once you know, then you're going to start demanding what's mine. The devil comes around then trying to steal, rob, and kill from you. Saying, not mine, you don't. No, not mine, you don't. No, it's mine. Now, verse 19. He said, what is the exceeding greatness? Notice this, that you might know. And then what is exceeding greatness? Notice exceeding greatness. Not just great. Exceeding greatness. This is top level greatness. What is exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Not just usward, but usward who? Usward who? So this greatness is only available to who? Believers, right? Somebody say, I thank God I am a believer. I am not a doubter. See, this is available to believers. But in the Christian world, sometimes what we've done is made it available to everybody. It's not. And for that reason, we pray these prayers for everybody. Everybody don't get what you pray for them because they wasn't believing, because everybody wasn't believing. Then they walk away and blame God
for doing something that he never said he'd do. See? My goodness, if I look on Facebook and see God is in control one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out. I'll tell you what. They'll have everything in the world happening out there. Well, God's in control. God's in control. God's in control. We'll look at that in just a minute, okay? Don't get mad and throw dirt in there. We'll look at it in just a minute. But this is for the believer. Notice it. I mean, if you don't see anything else, see verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? It's usward who believe. So that lets me know right there. See, this is life and death stuff. You get in a place, and the devil, you in the hospital examination room, and the doctor walks in and tells you, you got, you know, blood in your colon, and he tells you, you got a cancerous growth right there, and he tells you, you better be real. I mean, you don't want to play any more games anymore. You better be real when something like that happens. You better become a believer. In fact, you better had already been a believer, really. That's where you need to be. But at the very least, you better become a believer very quickly, or else the devil's going to take you out. Take you out way before your time. He will. And so this power is available to those who believe. And if it's available to those who believe, I'm going to be a believer. How am I going to be a believer? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to listen to it when I get up. I'm going to listen to it during the day. I'm going to listen to it when I go to bed at night. I'm going to read it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to saturate myself. I'm going to be a believer. Somebody say, I'm going to be a believer. Say, did it take all that? Yeah, it takes all that. You got to just fill yourself with the word of God. All right, look at verse 19. To us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. It ain't your power, it's his. It's the working of his power. But you're believing into the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the exceeding greatness of his power happened when Christ was raised from the dead. In other words, I don't think you find that statement anywhere else in Scripture. The greatest use of God's power came into play when Christ was raised from the dead. And what did he do? And then, not only did he raise him from the dead, but he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Christ is sitting, and as we understand the revelation of the word of God, what happened in the beginning, the Bible says that let us make man, us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, make man. And we see 4,000 years of history take place up to the cross. When the fullness of time come, God sent his Son into a manger. We call it the incarnation. What is incarnation? Man becoming flesh, or God becoming flesh inside of man. And Christ comes down, takes on the form and fashion of man, lives like a man for 33 and a half years, killed on the cross. The great sacrifice for all of our sins takes place on the cross. On the third day, God raises him from the dead. And when he raises him from the dead, it is the exceeding greatness of his power that takes place. When that happens, then he sits once again back on the right hand of Almighty God. What is that? The greatest place of authority is at the right hand of Almighty God in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. That's why the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, God, or Ephesians 1, God's given him a name which is above every name. We'll see it. We'll see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19, 11, when he talks about not anything under the earth, in the earth, above it. Nothing is greater than that name, Jesus. He has all power, and he got that power at the resurrection. Now notice, his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that world which is come. And so this power of God is available to us today because of what God did in Christ. It's available to us who believe because what God did in Christ. Now the thing is this, when Christ sits at the right hand of God Almighty, he ain't sitting there by himself. He's not sitting there by himself. In the book of Ephesians, notice I read you verse 21, but notice in Ephesians 1 and verse 21, when it says far above all principalities, all powers, every devil and demon in, out of hell, wherever you want to put them, every fallen angel, every wicked spirit, every spirit, the rulers of the darkness in this world, Ephesians 6 talks us about, these wicked spirits in high places or in heavenly places, every one of them, Christ is greater than. So when the devil brings everything he can bring at you, it still ain't enough. Amen? Every devil in hell, somebody said, every devil in hell is attacking me. That still ain't enough. I don't know that they're in hell. I think there's a whole lot of them still on this earth. There's a few bound that the Bible talks about, but there's a plenty out here on this earth that you and I need to deal with, that Christ dealt with on the cross, and we just need to rise up in our authority. What Christ did is we deal with them as well. And notice Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he had put all things under his feet. Everything is under the authority of Jesus. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. How many are in the church? Say I am. Not just this building, but we're in the church. As we think about theology, the mystical church of Christ or the spiritual church of Christ is who we are. And it says here that he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who is the head of the church? Christ is, isn't he? Jesus is the head of the church. Now anything that's got a head's got a... And then that brings verse 23, which is his body. Now let me ask you something. Do you think his head is beside the Father God in heaven, or you think his head and body is beside the Father God in heaven? Head and body. And who's his body? Sitting on the right hand of God the Father in heaven is all of Jesus or only his head? All of him, isn't it? And who is Christ's body? We are. And so where are we sitting? We're in heavenly places too. We're in heavenly places too. We're in that place of authority that God has given unto Christ. Ooh, somebody said, rip my clothes, you know, throw dirt in the air and all kind of stuff. Lord, have mercy. Let me tell you, I'll come back to this. I mean, I'll tell you straight out, and you and I both know this for sure. I ain't nothing. You ain't nothing without Jesus. I don't know what you think you are, but you ain't nothing without Jesus, okay? I love you. I really do. But you, me, neither one of us, we ain't nothing without Jesus. But now I also, knowing that, I know that in him, you know what? I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. I know that too. And so I know both sides of this coin that we're talking about. But I recognize that if I don't take my place of authority that God has given me, then all kind of bad stuff keeps on happening to me here on planet Earth. Just because you have it doesn't mean that you use it. How many of you got any old coins that you've saved? Do you remember years ago what we used to say? Remember the wheat pennies? Remember the wheat pennies? Anybody got those wheat pennies? You know what those wheat pennies are worth now? About 2 cents. I mean, about, you know. But we still hanging on those wheat pennies. How about those silver certificate $5 bills or $1 bills? Remember those? How many, if you go home right now, you might find a $2 bill in your house. How many got some $2 bills in you? You just save those two. You know what? You got all that money. It ain't doing you a bit of good. And it won't do you any good until you do what? Spend it. It won't do you any good until you spend it. We do a lot of other things like that, too, in life. You can look at, oh, I can't touch that. That's my savings account. What you saving for? Oh, one day. One day never gets here to some folks, you know. It just never gets here. One day never, ever happens. One day. That kind of stuff. But you know, it doesn't do you any good until you appropriate it, until you use it. You can be seated with Christ in heavenly places, which means you have authority with him. But you know what? If you don't appropriate that authority, it won't do you any good. You have it. You have all of it. But it won't do you any good. I read the article the other day in a magazine that talked about a man that starved to death in Chicago, Illinois. And when they looked through his goods, they found out that around just his money belt he had around him, over $25,000 in his money belt, and starved to death. Had the money to go out and buy all kind of food, didn't he? But he never used it. He never appropriated it. And the same thing will be true with you and I. You can have authority until you rise up in your authority that God has given you and use that authority here on this earth right now. I mean, I'll use it when I get to heaven. Yeah, and when you get to heaven, great, good, and grand, we'll all be happy over yonder. But, you know, what about the rotten here and now? Use it right now. I've seen some folks need to use it. Some people need to use it real bad on their face and wash off that old ugly old frown, you know, and smile and straighten up and have a happy, joyful Christian life. Lord, he said, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Okay? Everybody say, I am the body of Christ. Now notice chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you, everybody say me. Everybody say me. And you are me, hath he quickened or hath he made alive. That's in italics. You'll see it again in the rest of the verse. I don't hear where it's not, but here it is. You were dead in trespasses and sins. When I was a sinner, I had no rights but one. And that's calling on the name of the Lord that I would be saved. Other than that, when the devil came against me as a sinner, I didn't have any rights to say, get out of me, devil. The devil in me say, which one of us? You know. And then if all the devils went out, I said, not you, devil. I don't want you out of me. I wanted that devil out of me. The one, you know, not this one, not that one. No, you didn't have any rights then. The devil would laugh at you. You didn't have any rights. All the rights you had then was to call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. That's it. That's it. Jesus got you that at the cross. You got the right to get in and be part of the family of God. At an act of your will, an act of your decision, an act of your faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross. But other than that, when you came against the devil, this, that, it didn't matter. The devil just steamrolled you. He's a steamroller. He's going to roll all over you. I mean, what are you going to do? Notice. Verse 2. Wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world or the path of this world. This world has a path. And while they are plowing that path right now, they got a path that they want you to walk in, and it'd be hard for you to walk outside that path. I mean, you just fall back into the same rut that they got for you in the world. And this is what he said. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, the path of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You didn't have no authority over disobedience. You was a disobedience. You didn't have no authority over the things of the devil. You were the things of the devil. I was. I didn't have any authority over any of that. Notice in verse 2, wherein in times past, that's how we walked. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past. How we live in times past? The lust of the flesh. Whatever the flesh wanted, that's what we wanted to do. Whatever sinful flesh said about us, that's what we wanted our lives to be like. That's what we wanted. I mean, if flesh said, I want to live this way, then that's the way I'm going to live. I mean, he lived according to the sinful lust of the flesh. I mean, even to the point of getting to the place of, how can I say it nicely, a lack of knowledge or insanity. I mean, you know, it'd be absolutely insane for me to stand before you right now and put on a woman's dress and tell you I'm a woman. If I ever do that, lock me up somewhere for my own protection. I mean, you know, the world's gone nuts. Absolutely nuts. And some people say, well, you ought not to say that about the world. Somebody needs to tell them. I mean, if I'm over here and I'm about to, you know, touch something, about to electrocute me, I hope somebody says, you about to die, boy. If you touch that, you're going to be gone. I hope somebody would tell me that. My goodness. But notice, the lust of the flesh is just whatever the flesh tells them to do. Devil-controlled flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It was the nature. There was a song many years ago said, I'm just doing what comes naturally. Naturally. And nature that we are born in this earth will is a nature to sin. It's a nature to do wrong. It's a nature to get ahead of everybody else and stomp everybody else down. It's a nature to lie and cheat and steal and do people wrong. It's a nature, I'm out for mine alone, and you get out of my way. That's what the nature of this world is. By nature, the children of wrath, even though that's what we were. That's what we were. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive, made us together with Christ. What did he make us? He made us what? With who? Where's Christ? Seated in heavenly places? Where are we? We are together with Christ. So where are you at? We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Where am I right now? I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. What are we? Far above every name that is named, every devil, every demon of this earth, all the principalities and powers and might and dominion, far above it. Christ is above it. Somebody say amen. Where are we? Together with him. Where are you? You're above it too. Somebody say, I got authority. I got authority, man. I got authority. No, notice what he says. Raise us up together. And notice he says it again, verse 6. Has raised us. Notice the word hath. Everybody say hath. Hath. I don't know if your version says that. Mine says it in the good old King James. But hath raised us. No, they're past tense. He's already done it. Well, one day we'll get there. No. You that were made alive, if you've been made alive from your dead trespasses and sins, he's raised you up and set you together with Christ, or by grace are you saved, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us together in heavenly places. I'm in heavenly places. Amen? We are in heavenly places. Used to be a song years ago, is that when I die, I may not go to heaven. What was it? I don't know if they let cowboys in. Yeah. That kind of stuff. When I die, let me go to Texas. I don't know that much about Texas, but I don't think it's any kind of replacement for heaven. Amen? It really ain't. But I don't have to die to go there. I understand the planet in heaven where God lives. I understand that it's talking about. But to be seated in heavenly places, the only thing I had to die about me was I had to die to my sins. And now I've been made alive in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places. And so then, notice he's made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's in Christ, say amen. Where is Christ? He's in heavenly places. Where are you at? You're in. Amen? That's where we're at. That's where we're at. I thought you were talking about authority. That is, that's authority. See at the right hand of God the Father. That's authority that you and I have. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained that you walk in good works. God has ordained that you walk in your authority, seated by Christ Jesus in heavenly places. My ordained place to be is in heavenly places. You are not designed. You are not created to live in this world and this world beats you down every day of your life. You weren't brought in this world to lose. I read a book many years ago by a man named A.A. Allen, who's a great minister of God in the 48th reign, that kind of thing, like next 10 years. And he wrote a book called Born to Lose. And I love Brother Allen. Man, he was a great man of God. But he was not born to lose. In this world, sometimes we hear people talk about born to lose. I guess I'm just a born loser. No, when I was born in this world, I was born like everybody else. And let's say it that way. But when I got born again, I became a born winner. Somebody say, I guess I'm just a born winner. Amen. That's why I developed that phrase many, many years ago. And I say it a bunch of times. I'll say, Sheila, why is it we have to win all the time? I guess we're just born winners. We'll say that to each other, and I say, Sheila, why is it that you're so beautiful and good-looking? I am, too. I guess we just deserve each other. But anyway, hold back the debate now, okay? On my side, anyway, I know you wouldn't hers. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I guess I'm just a born winner. I guess I'm just a born winner. Somebody say, I guess I am just a born winner. Maybe you'll know it by the end of the service today. Genesis 1, verse 26. This is God's original mind and original intent and original thought and original creation of mankind on planet Earth. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. You already in high cotton already. Made in the image of God. Man, I'm all right, man. I tell you, woo, Lord. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, the man that he is making, mankind, have dominion. What's that dominion? Authority. The right to command. The right to be in charge. The right to control. Let them have dominion. God's original creation, Adam and Eve, you are in charge. I've heard it said it was like God and sons. It really was. Adam and Eve, you are in charge of the earth. It's yours. Have dominion over it. Adam exercised that dominion when they brought the animals before him. He said, whatever he calls them, that's what it is. God didn't bring them before him and say, hey, this is this, this, and this. He's no, whatever Adam calls them. That's why is it whatever Adam calls them? Because he's the one in charge. He's the one the dominion. He's the one in the authority. Whatever he calls it, that's what it is. Jesus in the book of Hebrews says that he is the high priest of our confession. And whatever you call it, that's what it is. Somebody say amen. Amen. Same authority. Same thing. Genesis 1 verse 26, let them have dominion. And he lists the stuff. Fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. I like that part about the creeping things. Because when he gets to Genesis chapter 3, he makes the devil the creeper, doesn't he? He curses the serpent that was used in the body by the devil. Creeping things. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and then God created him, male and female creating them, and God blessed them. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Say it again, I'm blessed. Wow, I am blessed. I'm blessed. Brother Robert told me today he's blessed and highly favored. Not lowly, but highly favored. Woo, I'm up and we're in heavenly places, isn't it? That's as high as you can get, highly favored. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Fruitful means you increase, you grow, you amass things. Good. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Notice subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That's original intent for mankind. That's what God created. He didn't create this place for this place to run your life. And people were, what's going on? Well, this thing's about to run me ragged. What's about to run you ragged? What are you being run ragged for? Well, you know, the man said. What man said? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Man's original intent and creation is to run this show. The greatest show on earth. Regardless of what P.T. Barnum said. Luke 4 and verse 5. Now, something happened, and I think most of us are aware of that. Adam and Eve were given dominion. They were given authority. They were given blessings. They had it all. I mean, it was really going great for them until the devil shows up and tempts them and gives them that big test we know about in Genesis chapter 3. The devil tests them and tempts them, and he says to them, hath God said... Or not said you shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden. Oh, yeah. God said that we shouldn't eat of every tree of the garden. Neither shall we touch it, lest we die. The devil says, well, that's just really not the truth. The only reason God is saying that, because he don't want you to be like he is. Already some big deception going on there, because Adam's been made in the likeness and image of God already. Now, I'm not saying he's God. Don't walk out here and say, I'm Adam. Adam God. There's a Mormon doctrine called Adam. I'm not saying that. But he's a God class of being. He's been made as a child and a son of Almighty God with all kind of privileges that you and I just can't fathom, okay? And that's where Adam is at. And the devil says to him, it's not like God says, you need to go ahead and eat of that tree. When they disobey God, who had told them in Genesis 2, chapter verse 17, when Genesis had told them that, God said, don't touch that tree, don't eat that tree. That you do or die. And the devil says, no, you won't die. And they decide to do what the devil says. At that point, they lose their authority. At the point you enter into sinful lifestyle, you lose your authority. At the point you begin obeying the devil, you lose your authority with God. That's what Adam did. He changed his Lord from God to the devil. And what did it get him? No more garden, no more blessing, no more dominion, no more authority. In fact, he got kicked out of all of that. Ran out into the world, and there where he had to make it on his own by the sweat of his brow in this world that became cursed. All because of a choice to believe the devil's word instead of believing God's word. How many wants to believe God's word? Say amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. So then we go to the New Testament some 4,000 years later after that event took place. Luke chapter 4 verse 5. The devil is tempting Jesus. And the Bible says the devil takes him up to a high mountain.
He likes those high places, don't he? He can't get high as God. He's been sort of alleviated of that right up there. But he takes him to a high place. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He sees all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6, and the devil said to him, all the kingdoms of the, or all this power will I give you. On the authority over all these kingdoms, the dominion over all these kingdoms, the power of these kingdoms, I'll give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever will, I will give it. Who was it that delivered all this unto the devil? Adam. That rascal Adam. He needed to go be taken out by the woodshed real bad, didn't he? God did take him out there. He did. He plunged this whole world into sin and sorrow and shame and hurt and pain and war and violence and so many things. So many things happened that didn't need to happen. And it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't what God's wanted. But Adam chose it. Adam chose it. And he delivered that dominion to the devil. He says it's his. It's delivered to me. I'll give it to anybody I want to give it to. Verse 7. If you will therefore worship me, all of this I'm going to give to you. What the devil saying to Jesus? Jesus answered and said, get behind me. Satan is written, you shall not worship. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It's not an option. Let me tell you what. You and I ought to be at that place in our life that no matter what the devil offers us, it shouldn't be an option. I mean, if the devil wants to offer you that if you'll cheat on your income taxes, an extra $1,000 rebate, it shouldn't even be an option in your life. Amen? It shouldn't be an option. I mean, when the devil wants to give you all these kind of things, it shouldn't be an option in your life at all. He's just trying to offer you something to get dominion over you, giving you a little bit of a dominion on this earth where you think you are somebody and you arrived, you made it yourself, and the whole time he's trying to kill you and destroy you. The whole time. But what happened was that Adam and Eve gave their dominion authority to the devil. So what happened was when he took it for those 4,000 years, there was a time, though, in the fullness of time, when God sent his son to take back that authority from the devil. You see it in that temptation. We don't have time to read it all, but you see it in that temptation where that God came in the form of Christ Jesus on this earth, and he went through all the temptations that Adam went through, but Jesus never sinned. And because he never sinned, he kept the authority that was in Christ, in him. He had that authority. And then when he was killed on the cross and crucified for our sakes, he paid a debt he did not owe. He paid a debt for you and me. And upon that legal basis, he was able now to regain all the authority that Adam had lost through the man, Christ Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, as he's about to leave this thing. Last thing he says to the disciples in Matthew. And Jesus came and spake unto them and saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. All power. Now, this is authority. Remember the different kinds of difference between power and authority. This power to choose, power to command, power to make choices in life, and power to tell this direction, that direction. Dominion, power, it's authority. All authority or all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And so now we know since the cross, since Christ Jesus rose from the dead, since the resurrection, we know where the authority is. It is in Christ. Everybody say the authority is in Christ. It's in him. Now, you're there, verse 18. Look at verse 19. He says something right after that. You go, therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. This authority that Christ got back from the devil who had unjustly stolen it from Adam and his creation, he got it back. Now, Christ got the authority back, and now he's given it unto his disciples. He's given it unto his church. It is in Christ's body. And that's why he says, you go do all these things now. Now you go forth. And he says, I'm with you. I'm with you always. Well, he is with us always. Because I'm in him and he's in me. Somebody say amen. You're in him, he's in you.
And that authority is with a revelation of that, of knowing what has happened, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, as Paul said it, will bring you to a place to where you'll see prayers answered in your life. It'll bring you to a place to where you see good things happen as you command and decree and walk in authority in this earth and refuse for bad things to happen. You know, there's all kinds of stuff happens. It's amazing how that as children of God, some bad stuff happens. Oh, I guess God must don't love me anymore. Something bad happened. Well, my goodness, touch you. I mean, something bad happened to you? Now you think God's not on the throne anymore because something bad happened? Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, right? But be of good cheer. I've overcome. Well, that sounds pretty good. He overcome, but what about me? You're in him. You are of God, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so you and I have the authority that Christ had in him. That is our connection. We are in him. He is in us. And we have this same kind of authority. And just because a bad thing happens doesn't mean you quit and give up and say it's the end of the thing. It's nothing but a test. The devil took Jesus up to a high mountain. Bad thing. Bad thing. You want the devil taking you somewhere? Part of the temptation. Takes him to a high mountain. I mean, test him. 3 times he tempts and tests him. Jesus overcome. Some of us as Christians, we get a test or a temptation in our life. Oh, well, I guess that's the end of this. Throw away the tapes. Get rid of the CDs. Burn the books. Ain't going to church no more. You know, man, that's the time when you need to get into the tapes and the CDs and the books and fill yourself with the house of God in your life. It is those times. It is those times that when the bad things have come against you, that when you stand in your authority, you see the good results that come because of that. Somebody lied on me. Join the club. Was it bad? Yeah, it was bad. Well, I hope it was a lie. You don't want it to be the truth, do you? If they said something bad on you, my goodness, you don't want to be the truth. I mean, you want it to be a lie if it was something bad. I got to go around and defend myself. No, you know, I ain't got to defend myself. I know who I am. I've been lied on, cheated on, cussed out by the best of cussers. I mean, one person cussed me out one time, and they did. This is true. They cussed me out, and I said, wow, would you do that again? That's about the best cussing out I've ever had. That was a good cussing out. My goodness, that was a good cussing out. But just because the bad stuff comes, don't mean you quit. That's when you rise up in your authority. We talked about D-Day. We've heard about great generals. We hear about General Patton and other generals that were part of those things that went on and that kind of thing. You wouldn't have heard about them if whenever they saw the German tanks, they ran the other way. Well, you might have heard about them, but it'd been something bad that you would have heard. But no, they rallied the forces and went forward. And so just because something bad comes against your life or something difficult comes against you, it's not time you run out. It's time when you stand up in Christ Jesus and know who you are in him and who that he is in you and you are in him and you have authority over this situation. Been there, done that, tested it out. I mean, you know, we got letters from the man, so to speak, different times in our lives. I've got letters from the man saying, you can take my property. You can take my property. You ain't take my property. Ended up with their property. It's amazing. It's amazing what you'll do and what God will do in your life if you'll make stands, even when the bad times come in your life. I mean, there's a lot of folks had bad stuff happen to them. I mean, you get the bad words. You get the difficult situations. Been there at the bottom of the barrel. I've seen those kind of situations in life, and I've seen people rise up over those things. Don't think just because something hurts, and if it hurts, I'm sorry it does. Ain't nobody wants no pain for you or me or nobody else. Really don't. Really don't. And I'm sorry it does. But you know what? That hurt can change in your life. That problem can be vanished in your life if you rise up in your authority. But if you let it beat you down and humble you and crumble you up in life, it ain't going to get no better. Nothing's going to happen for you. The Bible says this in the book of James, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. It don't just say, the devil will run from you. It don't say that. It doesn't say the devil runs from you. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, dear children,
it says. As we submit ourselves unto the Lord, we have this connection in Christ Jesus, then we're able to resist the devil. Amen? Let me read you a couple of verses and we're going to get out of here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, here's what Jesus said. Everybody say, Jesus got back the authority that Adam lost. But Jesus did not keep all that authority unto himself. Say this, he has shared it with me. Thank God. Hallelujah. You say, what have you been preaching all this time? You took 40 minutes to say that? Yeah, that's what it took me 40 minutes to say. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus said to his disciples, behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You see, here's the thing. Recognize this. You're the one with authority. God's the one with the power. You have the authority to use his power. See, that's how you have to understand it. Some people, as Christians, look at it and say, well, when I feel this stuff just like Superman, bam, one hand, bam, two hands, boom, and you grow up like some kind of transformer or something like that, and a giant something, wow, I know I got power. Now, it's not that. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of, who is it? His might, not your might, not your power, his power. What we have is authority to use his power. See, notice what it says, Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What are these, again, these scorpions and these serpents, this figurative of devils and demons, authorities in this earth, powers, heavenly wicked spirits that's in the earth. God says that he's given you that power. Jesus gave that to his disciples. We have the authority. Now we know why Paul said, I'm praying that you get enlightened. Because he knew that Jesus said, I've given you power already over this. And disciples themselves even need to learn that thing. Because God had empowered them and given them the power of the anointing that was upon his life. And they still walked out and said, you know what? We can't get this devil out of this little boy. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked them. He didn't go and give them power. He rebuked. Why did he rebuke them? Because they didn't use the power of the head. And that's what we have to understand in life. You have authority to use Christ's power. You have authority. We sing that song, Overcomers in This Life. You have a power. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 5 that we have overcome the world. How do we do it? By our faith. It's not by our power, by our faith, because we believe what God has done in us, what Christ has done. Now, notice what he says. Nothing will hurt you. Colossians chapter 2. Here we're getting out of town. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him, somebody say in him. If this is in him, in Christ, then who also is it in? In us too, isn't it? Because he's seated in heavenly places. Where are you seated? In heavenly places. He's there, you're there. It's in him. If it's in him, it's got to be in me because I'm in him. Right? In him. I said, like I was telling you before. And Sheila and I went somewhere and done something. And I said, Sheila, what you going to do? I said, she's going to go buy something. I said, well, you got any money you can get it with? Just check and make sure. She said, no. I said, well, what you going to do then? She said, you got it. I said, I asked her that about a cell phone the other day. Why don't you carry a cell phone? I don't need one. Why don't you need a cell phone, Sheila? You got one. Anyway. So the same thing is like that with Christ. Yeah, he's got it. If he's got it, I got it. You ever had a friend come up to you and say, listen, I'm your friend. If you need it and I got it, it's yours. Some of them said it for real. Some of them didn't quite say it for real, right? But Christ is a real friend. It's thicker, closer than the brother, the Bible tells us. Colossians 2:9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, ain't nothing no more you can get than what dwells in Christ. But I want this, that, and the other. Ain't nothing no more you can get than what dwells in Christ bodily. Nothing. The Godhead bodily. Nothing. There ain't no more. Where are you going to get it? There's not another Godhead. There's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's it. This is it.
That's why Paul said, I'm praying that you get enlightened, that you know what your inheritance is. That's why Paul said that. That's my prayer. Ain't nothing no more to give you. Ain't nothing no more to do for you. I don't have anything else to give you. All I got is that you wake up and you see what God has already done in you. See, now this is believer teaching here, as believers. And we say we are. I mean, you know, you can say, you got a car? Yeah. You got a license? Yes. You have insurance on the car? Yes. Are you going anywhere? No. Why not? Because I'm not driving. Well, you're going to have to get down and start driving. You got the license, you got the insurance, you got the car, you're going to have to drive. Right? Tell that car to drive me itself. No, it doesn't work that way. You in the driver's seat. Verse 10. There it is. What does it say? You are complete in him. See, somebody's like, we're bragging. Ain't no bragging about this. It's in him. It's in him. We are complete in. I know what I was outside of him, but I also know what I am in him. Everybody say, I'm in him. You are, and I'm complete in him. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. I'm complete in him. So you know, something bad happened. I need to start running, hollering, screaming. Oh, God, somebody help me. Ah, this thing's got me. You know, No, this thing's got me. It better let get loose, but I'm about to get it. It's amazing. We took Taekwondo, different things like that, and AJ's, he's like a second degree, and his black belt. We just got a little first degree, but he's second degree. And then he went on after that, and he's into this stuff now. I can grab at you and claw at you, all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, man, I look back and I think he's been taking martial arts about 11 years now. Don't mess with him. But anyway, about 11 years now. And I asked but different things about happen, you know. Talk about the bad guy coming against you. Hey, man, you'd be badder than the bad guy. Bad guy's the one going to be running. He's the one going to be gone. And you think about all this bad stuff coming against the world? Hey, devil not better not be anywhere around here. If you see the devil, tell him I'm looking for him. Wow, you ought not to say that. Oh, Lord God. Oh, my brother God. Hallelujah. That religious spirit. Oh, how dare you say that? My God, brother. No. In him. If I ain't in him, I'm running the other way. Okay? That's just the truth of it. But in him. Ain't no devil, no problem for you. How do you know it? Read the rest of the verse. Verse 10. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all this bunch. And I'm in the one that's in the head of all this bunch. And so whether it's a principality or power or devil or demon or fallen spirit or wicked spirit, whatever it might be, you and I are in charge of all those things. Now then, Lord willing, I'll get you to the place next year and we'll get some good little balances because you ain't in charge of people. But you in charge of demonic spirits. Absolutely. And when we learn the authority we've got, we'll quit running and hiding. We'll quit not talking to people. And the people everywhere in this world want to shut you down and shut you out. Now, don't say this. Don't say that. You know, all these kind of things that people want to do. And we've got weirdos doing stuff all over this world. Amazing. Amazing stuff. And Christians just sitting down not saying anything about it. Read this week that we're erecting, what is it, gay pride rainbow flags and erecting those on flagpoles of embassies through the world, United States embassies, and then they put out an order, said, no, we never authorized that, and the embassy's saying, we're doing it anyway. Somebody somewhere needs to stand up and say, no, you don't have the authority to do it. And start cleaning houses in some place. But if Christians don't stand up and Christians don't make our voices heard and don't recognize who we are and what God has made us in this earth, then we'll just sit down and roll over and everything just happen and we'll say, well, I wonder how the world got so bad. Right? Well, it got so bad because Christians just say, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. That's just the world. I'm not part of it. Well, I'm not part of the world either. But you know, I got to live in this thing until Jesus comes. And since I got to live here till Jesus comes, I want the best world I can live in. How about you? Amen? And it's time we rise up in our authority. Well, that authority starts right now in you. Okay, then we're going to start zero location, then we can work our way out and see what authority God gives us here and there, okay? Okay? Because there are limitations to authority in different places, whatever, that kind of thing. Even God himself requires that we be believers and say yes to the call of the gospel. He doesn't make us become Christians. He doesn't make us. And so with you and I, there's also, certainly, we'll talk about and discuss those. But recognize that when you're talking about with yourself, when you're talking about you and devils and demons, in Christ, you got authority over them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord God. I might just be healed. How about you? I might just be wealthy. How about you? I might just be happy. How about you? I might just be in love with my girlfriend. How about you? No, don't you be in love with my girlfriend. But anyway, I'm going to be in love with her. Stand up this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now lift your hands toward the heaven. Say, thank you, Father, for all you've done for me. I know, Lord God. Lord God, the situation, the circumstance my life was in. I know how the devil had me. I know what was going on, the destruction that was in my life. But thank you, Jesus, that you found me. Thank you, Jesus, you delivered me. You set me free, and you've given me power, dominion, and authority over all the power of the enemy. So in the name of Jesus, devil, out of my life. Devil, out of my family. Devil, out of my body. Devil, you're out of this place. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God Almighty, we give you praise and glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. I shall not lack. Hallelujah. I shall not ever die of sickness and disease. Thank you, Father God. My life will be blessed. Smile will rule upon my life. Happiness and joy fill my life. Thank you, Father. Because of you, Almighty God, I got it made. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're everything, Lord. You're everything. And gladly, Lord God, we bow our knee in your presence. You've been there so many times for us. You delivered us. You set us free. You made us whole. God, you give us a life that we now enjoy. Holy Lord God, it's all of you, Father. All of you, and we give you glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, you're seated in heavenly places.